On air, online and on your smartphone app. 106.7 Ribble FM.
I'd like to welcome to the Backseat Driver Radio Show, Zoe Whittaker. Zoe has, shall we say, spent her entire life with cars, around cars, driving cars, sorting out cars, and sorting out rather nice routes for people to drive their cars on. Zoe, welcome to the Backseat Driver Radio Show.
Thank you for having me. I'm not a backseat driver, by the way.
Yes. Now, how did all this come about? Because for anybody who's into cars, there has to be a starting point somewhere.
Always. It came as my dad. When I was 11 years old, he bought a Corvette Stingray home. 1968 Corvette Stingray. Gone over to America to buy it. Yeah. And then I had no idea about it. Came back from school one day and this thing was being driven up the road. It's fantastic, yeah.
Okay, so the thing about a Stingray is it's more than anything else. It's A, the look, B, the noise.
The sound,
and the
sound. Absolutely.
The Americans have never really gone in for silencing V8s.
Yeah, have. No. And it's just that engine that came up, and I just thought, that is absolutely fantastic. And it was red as well. It just looked amazing, yeah. And that was it. And then, I started going out with it. I'm a twin as well, so it only had two seats. So there was a great option for me because it meant that my sister couldn't come anywhere with me and I had time with my dad on my own. So that was, a good call.
So from there, that's when you were a young girl. Where did your career take you? Because eventually, you, at one point, you worked in Formula One.
Yeah.
So how did we get from dad buying a Corvette to working in Formula
so
One?
So I did quite a lot of rallies with him. We did the Alpine Challenge and Paris to Marrakesh rally and things like that. So I used to navigate from him from about 12 years old onwards. And I absolutely loved the social side of it. And I loved these cars and I loved the look of them, the sound of them, the banter that went on with everything. And I just wanted to get into that industry.
That was in the era when there was no such thing as politically correct.
It was good banter. And it was, and you know what? It didn't matter what background you came from. Cars just brought everybody together. Everybody was there for one reason, and that was a passion and a love for cars and driving. So, yeah. And I absolutely loved it. And I navigated for him for years and years and years. And then I wanted to do it by myself. I wanted to literally do these driving routes. And we did quite a few in the UK as well, like the Three Castles and Le Jog and things like that. And I wanted, of course, I couldn't afford to do it. When I was 18, 19, I couldn't afford to do it. I didn't have a car in period. I didn't have the money. I was a student. I didn't have the money. So I used to take my dad's rally books and go and off and do it in my little Ford Fiesta 1.1 and with my mates and have a fantastic time. And it hooked. I got stuck on it.
Yeah.
And then it came as well where all my friends were going to Paris for a long weekend. Yeah. I couldn't afford the flight. So my friend and I got in a car and we drove across three days earlier.
Yeah.
We had more fun in those 3 days driving there and driving back than we did in Paris. In fact, we ended up having a full car on the way back because two girls cancelled their flight because they wanted to join the fun. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Where did that path take you to end up in Formula One?
Yeah. So I wanted to a racing driver, but of course
not another one. Everybody wants to be racing.
But back in the day, 20-30 years, it was quite controversial to have a female in the driving seat. They didn't want anybody to get hurt or anything, so I thought, sorry, if I can't be a racing driver, I'm gonna work for a racing team. So I went down and I researched all the companies that sponsor Formula One, and I thought, I'm not going to be in a racing team, but if I can work for a company that sponsors the Formula One team, I'm almost there. And then got a job with British American Tobacco, who sponsored British American Racing, Honda, McLaren, BAR.
They were the interesting cars because I was talking to somebody the other day about them, and they were the cars that one half was, I don't know whether I'm allowed to mention cigarettes, but one half was 555 State Express in Navy.
So that was the rally cars we had.
Yeah. And the other half was...
Villeneuve and everybody, they drove 555 branded cars.
And
yeah.
The other side of the car was a Lucky Strike.
Yeah, so before I started, I did the Lucky Strike one. So it was Lucky Strike, our brand sponsored that. But before that, when we had people like Jacques Villeneuve and stuff, they had 555s, and that also did this rallying, and we sponsored rally cars and stuff like that as well.
The Rothmans. You sponsored Subaru with it back in the old.
Correct, absolutely.
If you were Rothmans, you would still have sponsored Subaru, because the Subaru Legacies ran in Rothmans colours.
Yeah, but I was part of the Lucky Strike team, so we had the Lucky Strike Roundel on the car, yeah.
Yeah. You stayed in Formula One as such for quite a long while, didn't you?
Yeah.
From the sponsorship side of it.
Yeah, they looked after me, British American Tobacco, and I absolutely have so much fun working for them and for the Lucky Strike team. It was just brilliant. And then I decided to move on, but we couldn't advertise cigarettes on cars anymore. So we came out of Formula One.
Yeah.
But they've always supported me. So when I did my rally in Georgia, that team have still supported me. It's still a close knit family. And now they're back into Formula One and they sponsor McLaren with the Vipe. They have a new non-combustible.
The vape.
Yeah, heat no burn, the vape sticks. So that's such great technology in those products and they put that into the McLaren.
Though tobacco sponsorship and smoking is now heavily frowned upon, even though I personally do smoke. The one thing people could never get was it didn't encourage people to smoke.
No.
It was to encourage people to change brands.
Yeah, you had the Marlboro, Philip Morris,
At one point in time, anything with Ferrari was Marlboro.
Yeah.
And back in the good old days when Alfa Romeo were first, their cars used to look like McLarens. And McLaren, they all ran Marlboro and they all ran the fag packet coloured layouts and they used to look fantastic.
Yeah. And so did the Lucky Strike cars.
They all did, the Rothmans cars. Rothmans, when I was absolutely passionate and involved in everything else, the Porsche 956s, the old conquering endurance cars, were the Rothmans cars.
Yeah, but they're all iconic. Everybody, that branding and that car, everybody recognises. You've always got a favourite one of one.
Yeah.
So every time we say, that's a BAR car, because they recognise the branding. And they went for the driver as well, as well as the branding. So. Yeah.
And the other thing was, heaven forbid, you might not have the car, but everybody wanted the clothing. From the cigarette manufacturer's point of view, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
People were paying them to do their advertising.
Yeah. Merchandise was a huge thing. Everybody wanted to be seen in whichever team that they sponsored or supported, should I say. They wanted to be seen in their full kit at these races or anywhere else. Yeah.
And this, of course, would have brought you into contact with a lot of the great drivers of the time, wouldn't it?
It did. I was oblivious to it at the time because I just loved I was so passionate about the cars and the driving and the atmosphere. So I did meet quite a lot of drivers from, obviously, Jenson Button, Rubens Barrichello, Mark Webber.
Yeah.
And even the ones like Derek Bell and Jackie Hicks, my hero. Very spoiled.
A Belgian racing driver, when you do meet him, you're always surprised how small he is. He's quite a tiny guy.
I'm quite small anyway, so everybody, nobody's... But racing drivers are in general, so that they can fit in the cars.
If they're only tiny, they don't weigh as much. That's the big deal, isn't it?
Power to weight ratio, absolutely.
So where did you go for that? Because you do race and you do drive some very nice cars.
Yeah, I'm really lucky on that. That's that. Do you know what? I taught my way. I think it's a passion, and quite a lot of people are saying, you can drive my car, and I'm really spoilt like that. One of the best things I've ever done is I drove around Goodwood in a 250 short wheelbase with
Ferrari.
Which was the Rob Walker tribute.
Yeah.
And the car, there was two of these 250 short wheelbases, and the other one, we were driving side by side, and it was Jackie Stewart and the other ones, and I was waving at him on the circuit. That's an incredible thing to be able to achieve. Not everybody gets to be driven in a 250 short wheelbase, do they?
I've never driven one of those. I've driven a 275 GTB, and I have driven a 250. If somebody said you can put any car you want in your garage, any classic, I'll tell you the two I put in. I put a Citroën Traction, because I think they're so incredibly stylish and very advanced car for the time, and a Ferrari 250 short wheelbase. What's the short wheelbase like to drive? That's a
stunning.
Proper Ferrari.
Just stunning. It's like being driven, it's like being chauffeured everywhere. Yeah. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I always say they don't make them like they used to. You're driving the car. That's why I like these old cars. You're physically driving the car and you're driving a personality to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I always think cars have got personalities and it's that feel and you are driving the car. You can feel it through the gear stick and the steering wheel, everything. Whereas the modern day cars are a little bit like Dodgem cars, I think,
I can't tell you what a friend of mine actually has written on a car about modern cars. We can't broadcast what that sticker says. But modern cars now are like PlayStations, by the way, other computer games are available, but they do everything for the driver.
Yeah.
250 short wheelbase does nothing for each driver. It will not help or assist that driver in any way.
You literally are in control of that car.
Yeah.
Literally. The car's not in control of you, which is what it's like these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the other thing is, as well, all V12 Ferraris have six Iber carburetors. That somebody actually, Mechanic has to actually know how to make them all sing together.
Exactly. You don't have an iPad to stick into your car anymore and diagnose what's wrong with it.
No, so if all else fails, they put the screwdriver against the cylinder, against the block, and listen. It's like the form of Mechanic stethoscope.
Listen to Ribble FM anytime, anywhere. Download our dedicated smartphone app. Go to ribblefm.com.
You've got to fly. You've got to fly.
Valley 106.7 Ribble FM.
Are you tired of sky-high housing costs? Are you ready for a change of scenery? At Three Rivers, our rural caravan park is the perfect solution for those seeking an affordable, peaceful and beautiful place to call home. Nestled in the heart of the countryside, our park offers exceptional facilities, including a cafe, swimming pool and function suite. You can even choose your own plot and specify the style of home that best suits your needs. Don't miss this opportunity to join our thriving community and enjoy the best of both worlds, the convenience of modern living with the charm and serenity of rural life. Contact us today to learn more and schedule a tour. Three Rivers, the perfect home is waiting for you.
MC Hub is the ultimate place for bikers. Why? Because they offer the best prices, huge choice of stock from all the well-known brands, and most importantly, epic customer service. Browse two floors crammed with anything and everything you may be looking for. Main dealer for RST and an RI service centre. So, come and have a brew, a chat, try stuff on, go home happy. Yeah, it's that easy. Visit MC Hub, just off the M65 at Junction 4, Darwin Services. Signposted all the way, or simply Google MC Hub Darwin.
Are you feeling that midweek wobble? Well, here's the cure. The Barley Mow in Barley. Every Wednesday night, it's proper comfort food. Fish and chips for two, for just 20 quid. That's crispy batter, full of loafy chips, and a cosy country pub that feels like home. So ditch the washing up and treat yourself properly. This Wednesday, Barley Mow in Barley. Fish, chips, happiness.
Craving something different? Discover Akila Street Food in Great Harwood, where homemade Indian-inspired street food dishes meet with a Lancashire twist. Sizzling curries, proper doms, fish pakoras, rolls, wraps, you name it. Every bite is crafted with love and passion for tasty treats. Lunch, dinner, and even takeaway. It's the perfect place to tickle your taste buds. Akila Street Food, Great Harwood. Taste the fusion, taste the passion. Your taste buds will thank you. For more information, find us on Facebook.
Stuck on the past, ain't worried about tomorrow. She's a lover, a mother, a sister and wife. She rolls over in the morning to the love of her life. Only smokes one on vacation, says just what she thinks. She don't need validation or much of anything. I just wanna be her so bad, it hurts so bad. Talking to Jesus, calls her mama all the time. She don't over embellish. If she says it, then it's true. I don't mean to sound jealous, but what could I do? So
I just wanna be her so bad. and local, across the Ribble Valley, 106.7. This is Ribble FM.
Where did it all go from there? Because I know occasionally you drive a Lamborghini Gallardo, and you still from time to time drive a lightweight Porsche GT3. You've your vast collection.
GT4.
You've the vast collection of your old racing helmets at home.
Oh, yes, yeah.
When did you race? Where did you race? And though you still do it occasionally, when did you stop?
Quite a few years ago, actually, because it just got more and more competitive on the circuit.
Idea behind motoring.
Yeah, but we used to have 20 cars. Now there can be up to 40 cars on the grid when it starts, and it's all a bit like bedlam, and it's all, you know, the kind of banter went a bit from it, and I was not enjoying the racing on the circuit anymore. As much as I loved the cars to pieces, I was beginning to more like the road better and enjoying the scenery, and I've done that. I've been there, seen it, done it. I do still go on a circuit. I learnt to circuit drive by my dad. He taught me everything, bless him. My very first circuit was, I was 17 years old. I'd only just passed my driving test. We were doing the Alpine Challenge and we were in Monza.
Yeah.
And we were all allowed to drive around the Monza circuit.
My all-time favourite circuit. And my all-time favourite corner is the Ascari Chicane, which is at Monza.
Yeah. So it is, for me, it's historical, isn't it? It's just fantastic.
I must say, you can stand on an empty grid at Monza with hardly anybody else there apart from the caretakers and bits and pieces. Just one or two people knocking about, doing what they do, nothing to do with motor racing, just keeping an eye and tidying the place up. And you can feel the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Regrettably, it did claim a lot of famous drivers, but they are still there. No matter what anybody says, these guys are still there.
Yeah, I didn't know that before I went on this circuit. I was very naive to all that. But I was in my dad's Corvette. And I've been navigating all day, and we were allowed to drive on the circuit. And I said, Dad, can I have a go?
Yeah.
And he went, yeah, absolutely. So he got out of the driver's seat thinking he was going to get in the passenger seat. And I was like, no, if you're going to do it, you're on your own.
You set off on your top.
I was on my absolutely. And I absolutely loved it. And I had a natural ability to drive. And people, when I came off, people were like, you're really good. How long have you been doing that for? And I was like, first time. But my dad had sent me on that thinking, oh, this will frighten her. The car's overheating, so it'll probably break down.
Yeah.
And there's no tread on the tyres either. And we're running out of petrol. But for some reason, I managed to get it round.
Brakes were
oblivious
as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was drum brakes then. Absolutely oblivious to any of this. Came back on and Dad was like, okay.
It was probably the best way to race a car, not be at all aware of the condition of the thing.
Yeah.
Just go out and drive it fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. Quite a lot of the times, I just love the car. I don't care how much it costs or anything, and maybe I should appreciate that a lot more, but to me that's a piece of history, and that's a piece of craftsmanship and engineering, that without that, those cars, we wouldn't be having these electric cars here on the road today. They are a piece of history, and they're to be appreciated, and I love it. Absolutely.
Now,
love it.
The interesting thing is, after you lived in London and you've worked all over the world, you've returned to sunny Yorkshire and... you now drive around in an original Volkswagen Beetle.
I do. I've got a 1968 Beetle. It's aeronial cooled engine.
Yeah. Called Giddy due to its registration, GDY.
Yeah, and also because it makes people giddy when they're in it. Honestly, when I have passengers in it, they just can't stop but laughing. And they're like, look, everybody's like looking at us and waving at us. And I keep saying, yeah, when you get in this car, you have to smile because you'll be having your photo taken, yeah.
I think the other thing is your love of classic cars, and we were talking about this before we went on it. It doesn't have to be a performance car to gain a tremendous enjoyment out of driving it.
Look at a Beetle. That's not a performance car. No, but she gets so much recognition everywhere. And she's been off the road for a while as well. And people keep asking me, where is she? Yeah, it's a piece of history. And cars didn't go over 100 miles an hour until the 60s, really.
No.
Speed wasn't everything at the time.
Nor was 0 to 60, nobody really attacked. No. Nobody bothered.
No, now you get cars and they do 0 to 100 in 2 seconds. The 580 brake horsepower, and that's like a rocket. It's not really driving a car anymore, is it? They sound great when you're on the outside, but when you're inside the car, whereas classic cars, it's the noise, it's the smell of the cars, there's just something so charismatic about every single car you get into. And do you know what? It sounds really stupid, but becomes part of family.
Yeah.
Like that Corvette, that is part of the family.
The ironic thing is, like we talk about once again to the 250 short wheelbase Ferrari, that's had a tremendous exhaust note. Regrettably, a lot of modding cars now, you can actually tell the onboard computer what exhaust note you would like it to. So it's all artificial.
Yeah, they all sound the same to me these days.
Yeah.
So.
And regrettably, as we move into the electric cars, hopefully hydrogen cell, because that is still my considered opinion, the way to go. But they all look alike.
Yeah.
And there's so many now. There's a group called Stellantis, and it's Fiat, a Mitsubishi, and various others all amalgamated. And if you say, oh, I want a Fiat, I want a Mitsubishi, they'll just take one of the cars they've manufactured and stick that badge on it for you. So they're not really what they were. I can understand it because it does make car production easier and cheaper. Not as it reflects in the showroom price, but if this is the way to go. But cars have lost their character.
Yes, exactly. Completely. Which is why I love these classic cars.
Yeah.
And again, it's another piece of history on the road. And it's something completely different on the road as well.
Yeah.
There are so many of these cars, like you said, that all look the same. Whereas you get a nice classic,
now,
iconic.
The only thing you now do, because it's part of your business, driving with Zoe, you now plot and plan nice rides out. But not just in England. You did one. It was televised in Georgia. You were the organizer of the first big classic car bash in Georgia, and that's Georgia over Russia way, not in America.
Ex-Soviet Union Georgia. Yes. Do you know what? I wanted to recreate those rallies that I used to do with my dad in the Corvette, and I absolutely loved it. But it was really, you know, we've gone through lockdown and everything. And it was really for the elitist, these events.
Because they're not being funny, they aren't cheap, no matter how you plot and plan them.
No, and they're becoming oversubscribed, and you have to book 3 or 4 years in advance, and sometimes they're abroad, like the Georgia one is, so you have to pay for shipping of your car abroad and things like that. So I wanted to take it right back to what it used to be when I was doing it with my dad when I was a teenager, and it was a few cars, you know, we were stopping at local accommodation, we were eating at local restaurants and stuff. So I wanted to do that, and because there are so many of these rally companies out there doing this, I thought, well, I've got to do it in somewhere that it's never been done before.
Yeah.
And it's either kind of China or Georgia. Georgia's a lot closer than China, but both hard and, both still corrupt countries still to a certain extent. But allegedly, So I turned up in Georgia in 2018. I'd got the very first Georgian Airways flight from London Gatwick to Tbilisi.
Yeah.
And I was really worried because I think there was 3 people on the plane.
Yep.
2 of them were the air hostesses. Look, oh, what am I letting myself in for?
You weren't flying on a cargo aircraft.
No, it felt like it, no. But no, they were great, Georgian Airways. I was a bit, why isn't anybody going to this country?
Yeah.
As soon as I got into Tbilisi, I stayed in a hotel called Rums Hotel. It was the only one I could find. Mm. That was quite central. Fantastic. It was an old works print house, which was great, actually. And I went there and they were like, oh, what are you doing? And I said, I want to organise classic car rally. Yeah. I've come, and next minute, I'd landed really early in the morning. I went up to my room, had a bit of a sleep, came down for breakfast, and they're like, oh, we've got the Georgian Tourist Board here to help you. And we've got a driver that can show you the local routes, and there's Rustavi Racetrack, and Lasher, who was in charge of, he looks after the Porsche Club in Georgia. Fantastic. It couldn't have been more helpful. I had such a lovely, everybody came out. The mayor of Tbilisi helped me. The Georgian Tourist Board helped me. It was, I thought, okay.
And you said, I've only come down for my breakfast.
Yeah, I was literally, okay, I can't back out of this now. And they said, oh, when do you want to do it? And this was in September 2018. So I said, what about 2019? Oh, why don't you do it in May? Did it in May. Gave me a few months to do it, called a couple of people, said, oh, do you want to come and do a rally in Georgia? And they're like, yeah, that'd be great. Fantastic. Sign me up. Didn't realize Georgia, ex-Soviet Georgia, not Georgia, Russia, Georgia in America.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, no, we're going to get kidnapped by the Russians or something. Yeah. But anyway, it wasn't. And they absolutely loved it and signed up again for the year after. I didn't even have to register it. So we did it again in 2020.
It was all televised. Somebody came out, a production came out and filmed it all.
So literally about 2 weeks before I went out to do the final recce for the actual rally, production company said, oh, we'd like to send a a crew out and film all this. I literally asked quite a few people, companies in Georgia, and they sponsored them to come out, and we filmed it all.
Live and local, across the Ribble Valley, we are Ribble FM.
106.7 Ribble FM.
Looking for a delightful dining experience in the heart of the Ribble Valley? Look no further than Hindalini's restaurant at Gisborne Park Estate. Open every day from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m, Hindalini's serves up mouth-watering dishes made with love and locally sourced ingredients. From English classics like fish and chips to our famous full English breakfast, there's something for everyone. Our vibrant outdoor setting with regular live music, peaceful walks around the estate after lunch, and we are dog friendly and even have water bowls and treats for them. Book your table online today and treat yourself to a culinary adventure at Hindalini's. Visit gisbornparkestate.co.uk for more information.
Transform your ride with the Wheel Specialist. With branches on the Barrowbrook Industrial Estate and White Hills Business Park in Blackpool, we specialise in everything wheels. From diamond cutting and powder coating, plus exclusive bespoke finishes in any colour you can dream of, and even tyres. We guarantee your wheels will leave our shop looking brand new. Give your wheels the care they deserve. And use code RIBBLE for exclusive discount on your next refurb. Visit our friendly staff now and get a free quote tailored just for you. The Wheel Specialist. Your wheels, our passion.
Hey, have you lost weight?
No, I've just had my bra fitted properly, so everything is right where it should be. Remember, any good outfit starts with the right foundations. If your boobs aren't up where they should be, being supported and making you feel comfortable, then nothing is going to look or feel right. You wouldn't put a size 7 foot in a size 3 shoe now, would you? Perfect Fit by Carol, with more sizes than you can imagine, and fitting so easy. There's no tape measures involved. It's practically magic. You'll wonder why you didn't visit sooner. Visit them on King Street, Clitheroe, or check out their Facebook page. Perfect Fit by Carol, getting you your perfect fit.
It's time to get away with a foldaway. Escape to the country with one of our folding mobility scooters. Here at Modern Mobility, we understand the importance of keeping your independence and enjoying days out with your family and friends. We have some of the lightest and quickest folding mobility scooters, so you don't have to miss out on anything. With easy payment options and friendly experts on hand at all times, finding your ideal scooter has never been easier. Why not visit our shop, located on Castle Street, or give us a call on 01200 760 006 and discover your perfect staycation scooter now.
Pizza!
for local radio, it has to be Ribble FM.
Out in Russia, Georgia, what is the core movement like? Because it's, you were saying earlier on, it's a very quaint, old-fashioned country.
It is. And actually, that was one of the things that I wanted to do, was use cars from that country as well. So it was even more in keeping with the culture and the country.
Their cars will be Russian cars.
Yes.
Moscovich and things like
that. Correct. Yeah. And we had those, and don't be wrong. They run and run, but they don't look after them. So there was a lot of breakdowns. But the locals, they all came out and said, I've got a classic car. I've got a classic car here. And all of them lent us their cars, like Gazes and stuff like that. We absolutely had no problem with cars. Again, not in the best condition, but that was part of the fun of breaking down.
Did they appreciate the Westerners' love of old classic cars?
Absolutely. We even had Georgians come on the rally as well. So we had them literally coming on, and they were almost like our history guides. They were so enthusiastic and excited. But it also meant that all the little villages that we passed through, they recognised the old cars.
Yeah.
Because it's still such a historical country. It's still really ancient in its ways. It's a stunning country, absolutely superb. But these guys had seen the cars from when they've been back in the day. Yeah. They don't recognise these modern cars, and they don't really see them that much either. Yeah. So we were supported really well by all the villages.
So like you said, in certain parts, it's still in court, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, you get villages and there's still tomatoes for potatoes in each village, and you'll see the carts moving back and forward between the villages, the air horse and cart.
And what are the roads like out there?
Some of them are okay. A lot are full of potholes.
Or it's England.
Do you know what? Everyone said, the roads are really bad in Georgia. There are they're no worse than in the UK. Yeah. Yeah. And they're actually quite good, some of them. We've got some really good twisty roads right up. It's quite mountainous, Georgia, and there's some beautiful roads. And actually, because they've got horse and carts keeping there, they keep them in pretty good conditions. Yeah. You get the odd pothole and you know perfectly well to avoid it because it's probably about 3 foot deep. But
And is there when the Iron Curtain came down and everything else, I know there was a lot of it, or there was some of it to a degree, because Škoda have a collection of racing cars that race over there. Does Georgia have a multisport history?
Not as such, no, but they do have a racetrack now. So in Rustavi, which is just outside Tbilisi, and they're really... Porsche Club, so last year at the Porsche Club in Georgia, he does loads of events out there. So they have quite a big supercar set up there. But then also they're getting carts there, and they have secondhand cars as well. So like our version of touring cars, British touring cars. And they have a lot of females, actually, female drivers. Loads of them, and they all learn and race on this track with Starry. Fantastic, they do whip the asses off some of these guys, I must admit. But it's they all learn to drive out there on the circuit. So to be honest with you, I think some of them are now getting driving licenses, but in Georgia
it's not a mandatory thing.
I don't think many of them have even done a driving test in their life, I think it's not so much the roads, actually. It's the other drivers.
Yeah.
They'll overtake on a blind bend, or it's like people kept asking me, what side of the road do the Jordans drive on? I was like, whichever's in the shade. They don't care. They've never had people on the road, so it's an open road to them.
Now, it's ironic you should mention a lot of female racing drivers out there. It's something I ask all my women guests who are involved with multisport. What is your opinion of these women-only series? Because I've spoken to a lot of women racing drivers, both English and European, and a lot of them, though they're not... they don't say negative things about it, they are not overly supportive. They think along the same lines that I do, that a racing driver is a racing driver, so shut up, get in your car and get on with it.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's all about the car and the driver. Get on with it.
Yeah.
Why are we singling? Why are we putting us in a silo? Yeah. We're all passionate about driving. That's why we're here. We're all passionate about cars. We're all passionate about our team. What makes it any different? Because we have certain assets that you guys have. But I agree with you. It's what everybody should equal. Once you've got a place in that seat, everyone's equal. It doesn't matter what you are on the circuit.
So I think the other thing, you look at some of the women-only series, and I think the people who instigated them thought they would be swamped with sponsorship, and they aren't.
No.
And why do you think that the sponsorship that the organisers thought would be there isn't? Money at the moment is tight. There's a lot of people out there looking for sponsorship, because I get contacted by quite a few of them, say, can you arrange? And I always have to say, no, it doesn't work that way. But why do you think that the sponsors haven't leapt at the Women Only series?
I think they agree with the same as we think. You're in a seat. It's got to be equal opportunity.
Earn the right to be there.
Yeah, you've worked hard for that place, so go into it, but don't single us out. Yeah. And I think that's it, really. I think, why are we siloing these women? They should all be in the same category, in the same race.
Now, the other thing that's cropping up, and a few weeks ago I had Malcolm Mackay from the Historic and Classic Vehicle Alliance. No matter what anybody says, we've got the introduction of the new E10 fuel, because I filled up the other night to discover that my favourite brand, though these are available, I use Shell V-Power. I use that in all my petrol engine vehicles. If you're buying normal unleaded, it's now the new E10 with the increased ethanol, which is, certain engines don't like it. It will have a detrimental effect on your car. So with the increase in electric cars and people pushing the green agenda, what do you think will happen to classic cars? Do you think we will be able to carry on driving them?
I hope so. I am, definitely. Yeah, you can't take that off the road. It's a piece of history.
Yeah.
Everybody goes, oh, it's not environmentally friendly.
Well, it's hardly for the simple reason.
It's the best. My Beetle's 50 years old. It's the best piece of recyclability possible.
It's best recycling, and its carbon footprint has long since been eliminated because of how old it is.
Yeah.
The other thing is to drive on a lot of your route, or to go anywhere, shall we say, in the wilds, like the Big 500 in Scotland and in the northeast, etc. Unless you can find a Tesco's or whatever, there's nowhere to charge electric cars.
Yeah, or you have to knock on a nice farmer's door and say, please, can I borrow your electricity?
For 8 hours.
Yeah.
Overnight accommodation.
Yeah. I am going to have to look at that eventually, because more and more people are going to be wanting to do my drives in electric cars.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. The country's got to get on board with these electric charge points. I work inside and work a lot with Epicurean Club, who are a collection of pubs around the whole of the UK.
Because that's the one thing about your ride outs. It's not just driving.
It all revolves around food.
It revolves around
food. Yeah. Breakfast, lunch and dinner. And coffee stops.
With coffee stops.
Yeah.
Will you be able to talk these guys into fitting a charging point? The trouble is,
If
20 cars all appear at once and they've one charger, it's not going to really work out.
No. And actually, that's why, because my driving routes, you can do them whenever you want, with whoever you want. So if you want to do them on your own with your partner, fine. If you want to do it as a family, fine. If you want to do it as a group of mates, off you go. It's up to you.
Yeah.
So they're literally, the drives and the routes have all been plotted and planned out. You just have to download it and off you go.
How long does it take you to come up with these routes? Because it's some of these routes about, 90, 100, 110, 120 miles.
Yeah.
You've got to set off from wherever and itemise and describe and come up with perfect descriptions of every left and right and straight on everything else.
Takes a couple of days just to do a half day route. Yeah. Yeah. Because you've got to get to the destination to begin with, but you've got to find a really good place to start.
Yeah.
I always want to start somewhere where they can get food and a pee stop. Everybody needs a pee stop or a coffee. So I always make sure that's the start location. And it's also a nice place if other people want to do it as a group, somewhere where people can to congregate together. And then go off and do the drive. But of course, sometimes you plot a route and you think this is going to be great. And actually it's not. So you have to start all over again and do it. And then you've plot the route, do it. Literally read your notes again, redo that route from the notes that you've written. Make sure it's absolutely perfect. Then go and write it all up and check it all. And then also you have to keep checking that route as well, because obviously highways change and there's lots mini roundabouts keep popping up all over the place as well. Yeah, that's a problem.
And I conclude you've also got to take into it severity, because some people want to do it and they will want it to be difficult, and others will want it where it's easy. They don't want to get lost. You want to make sure that they get from A to B to C to D without too much difficulty.
Yeah, so I've got different levels. So if you're a beginner, there's a driving route for, say, 1 hour.
Yeah.
And it gives you a great chance to do it. And they're really, it's a really easy direction, route direction. And then there's more advanced ones, so you can have a half day, you can have a full day.
Yeah.
You can join these routes up to have a whole weekend if you want as well.
Really?
So yeah, all over. So if you want to say do from Yorkshire, I've got one from Morecambe, so it's coast to coast, Morecambe, starting at Morecambe Bay, and it goes all the way over to Scarborough.
Yeah.
And then you could do Scarborough all the way up to Scotland, and then Scotland back down to Cumbria. So yeah, you can actually link them all up and have a whole holiday.
Right.
Driving. Yeah. So,
and do people buy these off you or contract you in, or how does it work?
So at the moment I'm doing them for car clubs, and I do the drives for them, so they can download the routes and they go off, and their club at the weekend goes off and does the drive. It's almost like a rally, but without the competitive side, because you don't have any checkpoints or anything. And then, so I do that at the moment, and for restoration garages and corporate companies and stuff. But then everybody will be able to download those from my website. So anybody can download them for a small fee and go off and do them themselves. Absolutely.
If somebody wants to have a look at it, what's your website's address?
Will be zoewhittaker.com.
On social media, you're a little bit strange. You don't really do Facebook. It's all Instagram.
Yeah, I'm not very good at Facebook. It's all Instagram. It's Driving with Zoe. For some reason, everybody keeps saying, what are you doing this weekend? Or what have you been up to? So I've been driving with Zoe. So that's stuck. So
yeah,
you can find me usually in my Beetle, on Driving with Zoe. Yeah, yeah.
Zoe Whittaker, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. Thanks very much for coming on the Backseat Driver Radio Show.
Thank you for having me.
As I've said, or as Zoe's just said, if you want to find out more about her, Driving with Zoe on Instagram. So once again, Zoe Whittaker, thanks very much for joining me on the Backseat Driver Radio Show.
Listen to Ribble FM anytime, anywhere. Download our dedicated smartphone app. Go to ribblefm.com.
My lover's got humor. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak, a fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be well. Amen. 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 Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your light. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death, the good God. Let me give you my life. Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine.
Stand up.
106.7 Ribble FM.